Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele, thanks to Kraft Homes, Homestar approved practitioners.
Happy New Year, Rita Steele.
Sustaining Alive.
Happy New Year. We're living in the future.
We are.
2020.
Very much so.
It feels like it. It feels like this is, I don't know, like the day we never thought would ever come.
Kind of
the year we thought we'd never be here.
It sort of feels like the beginning of the end as well, though. Like a strange start to the year, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Pretty freaky deaky.
Grim.
What do you got for us? Heaps of stats?
Not too many stats. Just sort of, I've kept it pretty, somewhat stat-free. Just because it's more conceptual, I think. We've got these Aussie bushfires burning. Mm. And I keep thinking to myself, like, I didn't ever consider that the end of the world would have such nice sunsets. But because of these Aussie bushfires, we're getting some great sunsets.
Impending doom will kind of do that thing, it will kind of give you a nice little cuddle and then it's all over.
Yeah, totally. It feels like that.
Choke you out.
So we all know there were some tons of sort of memes, like you say, are or gifts or that sort of thing floating around the internet on how much is actually burning and what it's compared to
right. Different
countries.
How we can understand it, how we can fathom it. And our small little brains.
How many football fields is it?
And the best one that I've seen, and what I'll do is actually hunt it out and I'll put it on the BFM on the drive page.
This kind of counts as stats, by the way.
The one that they've overlaid over America is quite shocking.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because it's the same size. Australia's actually, I didn't realise this, it's about the same size as America. So yes. They've overlaid Australia over America and shows, like, you know, what it would look like.
Okay.
If it was, you know, burning in America, and that's kind of freaked out a lot of Americans because, one, like many of us, didn't quite realise that they're the same size country, but also because seeing, like, their own area possibly quite burning is quite interesting. So, anyway, quite freaky. So I'll put that on the drive page.
Mm.
But the numbers are 18 million acres at the moment.
Jesus.
But again, pretty hard to know what that means until you see it. 1 billion animals, so that jumped significantly since the end of last year.
That's twice. They said 500 million the other day.
Yes.
Are they counting? Yep. How big are animals are they talking? Like, right down to like a little kind of rat?
Yes. So because they've got quite a few little weird, like, rat types.
Yeah, they do. They've got some cool little rats.
Strange marsupials.
I think they've got, like, a little kangaroo rat. It's cute.
Yeah, they're really quite cute.
It's probably a
mouse. It's only these animals that they're quoting are birds, reptiles, mammals. So there's not insects. I mean, there's
just quickly, billions. What are your thoughts on maybe bringing koalas over here?
We don't have the ecosystem for them. They like to eat eucalyptus. They demo eucalyptus in a few days, and then what would we do with them? Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, I think it's kind of ironic with the refugee boat people and take the koalas. Anyway, whatever.
Send the koalas to America.
Yeah, we can't take the koalas, unfortunately.
Not even like a couple.
They are one of 17 mega diverse countries on the planet, so it is a real shame because we will see, especially local extinctions of some species.
Is this the biggest fire in like history that we can remember?
I was trying to find that out. And
it was twice as big as the Amazon, I think, at the moment, or maybe more.
In terms of near history, it is definitely
right.
I looked up whether it was in terms of, because, you know, people keep saying, like, Australia's always burnt like this sort of thing. And if it has, it's certainly not a regular occurrence. So they're sort of saying that possibly there was this kind of level of fires worldwide 66 million years ago after the asteroid hit the Earth and took out the dinosaurs.
Yep.
And that asteroid would have spread fire through like raining ash, like fiery ash on everything. So there were some places that would have seen some pretty significant fires then. But I couldn't find any geological evidence of anything. You know, I mean, I didn't look at everything, but I couldn't find anything in recent history. And the other thing that probably goes to kind of support that is that we wouldn't have koalas. Koalas would not have evolved if this level of fire was happening frequently in Australia.
Right.
They're very slow animals.
They are pretty chill.
they just wouldn't. They evolved about 25 million years ago. They broke off and evolved. So that, you know, if there was all these widespread fires, then the only animals that would exist in Australia are fast running ones.
Also, like, just like put it like this. I can't remember another time that the sky has sort of changed colour because of another country's situation. That's fucking heavy.
Yeah,
I think like, it reminds me of like, apparently Taupo, when that erupted, it's in the, like, the Chinese records that kind of like fucked up their sky and stuff. It's really interesting.
And that scream picture, you know, that one that that guy painted, oh, I don't know his name, which is just escaped me, but the guy with that screaming, and then the sky is beautiful in that, and apparently that was Krakatoa.
Oh, wow.
He didn't know it at the time. So, you know, it seems like volcanic eruptions possibly changed the sky, but... But yeah, and the smoke and ash is reaching South America, so it's going,
and
which is, I think,
for people locally, just air quality and stuff, is that serious stuff, eh? Because it's really carcinogenic, some of this smoke.
Absolutely. And, you know, the reports I've read, you know, in the past about what will be sort of, what doomsday will look like, you know, and they're saying by 2030, I can't remember if it was number one or two, killer would be respiratory disease.
Yeah, and is that something that like kind of takes a while to kick in? Like, like people will probably be like experiencing sort of problems later on in life around this. Do you think if they really are inhaling a lot of it, is that?
Yeah, possibly. I think some of it will be instant, asthmatic children, that sort of thing, and then later on we'll probably get some fallout from it, and we'll never be able to prove it.
Like asbestos kind of stuff,
and,
you know? Yeah. Like,
Well, I mean, you damage your lungs, and then once the lungs are damaged, they are never the same again either. So you know, you're coughing, and you can't fix damaged lungs. So, you know, it's not great.
No, yeah.
Rita,
the other thing I sort of just mentioned as well is that I've done a bit of research around that what the fire service is saying in Australia, and they are all by one very small politically funded splinter group are all saying this is the fault of climate change. So I thought I'd just talk, there's two types of fires, of the way fires spread.
Yes.
One is fuel related, so that there's lots of, you know, fuel on the ground, so lots of small low-lying bush or dried debris.
Yeah.
So that helps to spread it, and they do hazard reduction burns to try and limit that.
Yeah.
And just so that people are aware, that's not to be confused with backburning. Backburning actually is something that happens when the fires are already spreading, and they try and get in front of it by burning.
Yes, burn a little patch, a controlled patch, and then it can't spread, kind of thing.
Yeah. Whereas fire reduction burns are before any fires are broken out, so it's in the off season. So the other type of fire spreading is weather related, so particularly wind.
Yeah.
So the hazard reduction burns really can't do much about that because they burn the ground debris, and the winds are spreading fires to the tall trees. And that's what's happening at the moment. That's what the fire brigade are saying. Sure, the hazard reduction helps with in mild conditions, but we're looking at extreme conditions right now. And the reduction burns wouldn't have done a lot to help that.
There must be a fire ban right across Australia right now, right? You couldn't have a fire.
Oh, you would think so. Although they had fireworks, which I kind of just thought
fucking
was...
Hell.
You know, if I'd just lost my house, or if I was those poor people that were standing on the beach waiting to be saved, it's just such a rubbing salt in the wound.
That's bad taste.
It felt really bad taste to me, absolutely. The other thing I just want to take the time to say is that the Greens did not stop hazard reduction burns. I've read that a million times. It is completely untrue.
Okay.
Of the Green Party have apparently been blamed for stopping the hazard reduction burning.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay. It's completely untrue. Nobody even really knows where this rumour has come from. Their policy is to hazard, to do the burn-off. And the only thing that I can see is that the fire service are saying that the reason that not much is happening, or not as much is happening, is because the season is shorter. So they go from like wet to dry really quickly. So then all of a sudden that season that they can do the burning
back to the climate
is too buzz. Short.
Yeah.
Mm, okay. Which is a climate change problem, right?
It keeps skirting around reality, everyone.
Yes, exactly. Mm. So, yeah, they're also very expensive to do, especially around houses. And this is where the big fires that, you know, are really problematic is around people's homes. And they're obviously very dangerous and very expensive to do. So, and the current government have cut the budget quite significantly. So, obviously, you know, that's also a problem.
Hey Rita, what is the road to recovery going to look like for Australia? What can they feasibly do?
It's about to rain, which is good. It's about to have a big rain, I think.
Yeah, they need rain. They need rain, and they need it for quite some time.
Yeah, it's got to be sustained rain, eh? That's the thing.
Australia is a craton, which is it's actually the most ancient craton, which is sort of the most ancient continent. And what happens with old continents like that is that they get quite like everything kind of gets eroded away, and their soil is very unusual, I guess, and that's why Australia is quite flat. And so, you know, it's hard to describe, but it's kind of almost sandy kind of soil. So the underlying kind of groundwater, is quite different to somewhere like New Zealand, where we've got really kind of slow, some of the areas that we live in have got these big groundwater things that slowly move through the soil. The water goes in, and the soil can hold a lot of water, whereas in Australia that's not the case in lots of places. So they do need quite a lot of rain. They need it for a while to help sort of boost those reserves, the groundwater reserves, which they're also, by the way, selling for irrigation, which is also another problem.
What's happening with, like, the, you know, how heaps of stars are donating money in that, and that's rad, but what can money buy rain, or like, how does it work?
No, it can't, but I guess it can help fund those you know, rescue centres, things like koalas. I mean, what's probably going to end up happening is a lot of these species won't exist unless they have special areas that are set aside for them, and that's a really expensive thing to do. I mean, we've got national parks, but these will be kind of like what we do with Kakapo, where we put them on, you know, outlying islands. It'll be kind of similar, where maybe they've got a big, you know, area around them that can't catch fire, and, you know, so those sorts of things, I think, in the long term, will help.
Someone suggested sending some of our possums over to help up the possum population.
We could repopulate, although I think we've only got one type of
possum. Let's have koalas for a bit. They have possums. They've already got possums, I think, but...
Yeah, and they've got, like, hundreds of different types of possums. And I think we've only got the ringtail possum, so we'd be able to, like, repopulate one of theirs.
We've also got a few wallabies over here, to be fair.
We do, actually, don't we?
Don't worry about that.
That's two species we can help out with. I mean, the other thing that I think is probably quite, you know...
Speak your mind, Rita.
Well, no, I'll be careful what I say, but I really do hope that this wakes up Australia, because they are the 47th of 47 countries when it comes to climate action.
Oh, man.
You know, they've really dragged their heels on it. They're still selling coal. They're still...
Yeah, they love it.
The rest of the world loves it.
They're selling it to the rest of the world. So supply demand, man. It's like...
I know. It's pretty shocking. So... hopefully this kind of, you know, wakes them up, or wakes the people up to... what we have to remember is that of the fossil fuels in the ground that we already know about, we have to keep 80% of those in the ground to stay under 1.5 degrees. Okay. So going out and finding more and digging more up is only a suicide mission. That's it. That's what it is for our civilization. Those facts are not under... They're facts that our scientists have told us. You know, so the fact that they're going around and digging up more and exploring for more and selling more, it's horrific, actually, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this kind of really, really drives that message home to people. You know, I know people aren't huge fans of carbon tax, you know, for various reasons, and something like a cap and trade might work a little bit more, where we sort of go, okay, that's as much carbon as we can have, and now you can trade it. But you know, so that we're not just paying tax and it's still creating carbon, because that's a problem. But what we have to remember about Australia in particular, and this happens in New Zealand and it happens in other countries too, but for Australia, their coal mines don't pay tax and in fact are subsidised by getting tax incentives. So for all of us that don't want a carbon tax, it's not going to impact us as much as it's going to impact those carbon, those fossil fuel companies. So that's what these carbon taxes need to be directed at, is those companies, so that all of a sudden alternative fuel sources become more affordable.
Right on. Okay, Rita.
Yeah, well, but in the meantime, I don't know, pray for rain, I guess.
Yeah, well, definitely thoughts to all of our Australian friends. It's, you know, yes. It must be terrifying.
Absolutely. And you know, you'd really be thinking about where you live in Australia, I think, even if you weren't directly impacted. But I think that 1 in 3 people are impacted by this in Australia. So, you know, those are some pretty big numbers. And fingers crossed we get some rain.
Right on, Rita. We'll catch you next Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
see
ya.
That was Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Kraft Homes, Homestar approved practitioners. Go to krafthomes.co.nz. Okay.